Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Good citizens of the podcast-iverse. It's the Nerdist Podcast number 467. I know you listen to the Nerdist Podcast, but there's a bunch of other podcasts on the Nerdist Podcast Network. You listen to Chewing It with Kevin and Steve. You can listen to Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction, The Kale with Kurt Brownoler. Kurt Brownoler has been so amazing on At Midnight. You know what? I gush about it all the time. You're probably tired of listening to me gush. It's just my dream job is all. The episode we did last night with Paul Tompkins and Jen Kirkman and Mike Lawrence was... a lot of it had to get cut out. I think I'm talking to Comedy Central to see if they'll put up the whole episode online. But it was like, genuinely, I was doubled over with laughter at just the banter between Jen and Mike, and then Mike and Paul, and then Paul back to Jen, and then I would fire something in, and then it was, honestly, to get paid to just hang out with friends and make stupid jokes and make men talk about the internet. So At Midnight is on every night at midnight on Comedy Central. So check it out. And somehow I managed to turn a plug for other people's podcasts into my own plug about At Midnight. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be narcissistic. It's just that I only care about myself. No, that's not true. But I guess it all weaved together in some way that was unintentional. It became an unintentional backdoor plug for At Midnight, but listen to our other podcasts on the Nerdist Podcast Network. And also, we are very excited to be involved with Lucasfilm and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Now, of course, normally we're going to start talking about Course of the Force pretty soon, but right now, through omaze.com, which essentially is a website that helps people get, they basically bid on really amazing experiences, and the money will go to a charity. With this one, this is benefiting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. If you go to omaze.com/experiences/Star Wars, then for $10, a $10 entry fee, you could enter to win a contest where you'd go to Skywalker Ranch, get a tour of the ranch with George Lucas, and then you'd be flown there. You'd be flown there and put up, and then pop down to Los Angeles and come to Nerdist Studios, and you might go, oh, what's there? Well, it's a fun little production facility. There's a Lego me that's there, and then a bunch of other toys, but also Mark Hamill. So then you'd be bookending this sort of Nerdist trip with Skywalker Ranch and George Lucas and then Mark Hamill. So totally worth your $10. You would just give $10 just to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I'm sure, anyway. But now you could actually possibly get this fantastic experience. So there it is. Thanks to Omaze for making it possible. Thanks to Make-A-Wish and Lucasfilm and George and Mark Hamill. So this episode of the podcast, I told you this was going to happen, that when I got back into town, we get to do more Hostful. So here is another Hostful. And we're digging deep. I find that the evolution of the Hostfuls has very much been like the evolution of stand-up, where for the first bunch, when you first start doing stand-up, you talk a lot about the external world, and then it just starts to move more and more inward, and we have really been talking a lot about, really personal stuff, and I have to say, it is refreshing, so I hope you are enjoying it, because not only is it refreshing to talk about stuff, just selfishly, but then also to learn about stuff about Matt and Jonah. So I think we've got to pull Katie and Kyle in there at some point too, and dig around in their brains. Let's scoop out their soul and plop it down into the into a podcast smorgasbord for you guys. Here's the Nerds Podcast number 467 with some hostful goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Committed to podcasting.
Well, I really just think it was your tone that got him in here.
I wasn't. Nope. I was answering. You said, "Can we do this tomorrow?" And I said, "Nope," because we're shooting two shows, so we could do it Thursday. And
How you feeling, Jonah? Get well soon, Jonah.
I don't care about any of that. We have content to make. What's the fucking
content?
We have content to make. Can-tent.
Do you know what happens if we don't make content? Nothing.
You shut your fucking mouth.
Matt, we're talking ad revenue. We're talking really upset tweets.
Well, that's true. You know what, guys? I really didn't think it through. A lot of stuff would happen.
You guys are making fun of this, but your salaries depend on it.
On content?
Being made, yes, of course.
Oh, well, thanks for picking up the slack while I'm not at most of them, guys.
But you still get paid like you were.
Yeah, I know, which is why I just said thanks for picking up the slack.
All right, good. Good, good, good. Are you feeling okay, though, honestly?
It could be allergies. That's what I've been kind of realizing all day. There's stuff blooming in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like...
There's an Outback Steakhouse just opened up.
Yeah. You know what I like about that is that I could do whatever the fuck I want. There's no rules. Yeah.
At Outback?
Yeah. It's
no
just
rules,
right.
Just right.
Yeah. Do whatever the fuck I want.
It's like Burger King's like, have it your way. And then... Outback's like, well, no, fuck
have it
this.
Any way you want.
Fuck this.
I mean,
no rules.
Yeah. It's exactly how they eat on the Outback.
Yeah, exactly. Shit on a waitress and then fucking shit eat a blooming onion.
Shit on a waitress, shrimp on a Barbie at Outback.
Yeah. Wait, I shit a shrimp? I shit on a shrimp.
No, you shit on a waitress.
Why would I shit on a waitress?
It's just whatever the fuck you want. No rules.
Anything?
Just right.
So it's
whatever
like,
you do is right.
So it's like a restaurant version of Las Vegas?
Oh, it is, without Jedi the Dancer.
Good callback. Jedi.
Guys, we're recording this 5 minutes after the last podcast.
It's not true. That's not true.
Someone will believe that.
What system are you dancing in this night or whatever equates to a night in your planetary revolution around the star?
I completely lost you. What?
I was
Who are you talking to? Jedi?
Yes, I was talking to Jedi.
Oh, all right.
Who I thought might like respond. Like I thought someone might tip her off at some point.
You were some guy getting a little on the show that she doesn't listen to podcasts.
Yes, that's true. And I was also overconfident that our podcast is that popular that someone would be like, "Hey, while you're dancing on me,"
sounds like the Chris Hardwick way.
Yeah, exactly.
Simultaneously, not confident and overconfident,
as opposed to the Myra method,
which is just unconfident the whole time.
Did you were in Denver this past weekend?
Last Friday I was in Denver. Then I came back the next day.
How was it?
It was great. I love that.
Denver's
love that
a good town.
Love that town. It's a lot of fun. We did a show with the Grolix guys, as I've talked about before. Love those dudes.
Yep.
Andrew Overdahl, Adam Caden Holland, Ben Roy. Just staying there and just having
good
a blast.
Dudes.
Yeah, good comics, good dudes. And then after the show.
Sometimes you wonder why Adam won't move to L.A.
And then you go visit
him in Denver. And then you're like, I wouldn't move either.
He has a great house. He has a fucking awesome dog. Ben Roy has a band out there that's really good called The Spells. And they're it's just a gorgeous city. And they had that Amazon deal, it didn't end up going forward, but they made a couple bucks off of selling a pilot and some scripts to Amazon for their show, Those Who Can. And I don't know, just it's real nice out there. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I enjoy Denver too. Yeah. I lived there from freshman year through junior year.
Well, the formative Hardwick years.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some pretty what high school did you go to?
It was called Regis. It's now a co-ed school, but it was the same thing. I went from one Jesuit all-boys Catholic school
Kelly and Mike
to another. Mm-hmm. I lost my virginity in Denver.
Nice.
Oh, that's big.
Yep, it was big.
Did it take longer because of the altitude?
Yep. Yeah. That's right.
Did you come just become a mist?
It did.
Yes.
It missed.
And then an old man came in. There's something in the mist.
Wow, what's that?
yes.
Who was she?
Well,
let's talk about that.
Okay. Haven't we talked about this before?
I don't know.
All right. So this girl.
You okay, Matt? You're getting real ready for a talk about sex.
Know.
Just shuffling, getting, locking it in.
Matt just spit in his hand.
I was getting comfortable beforehand, and now I'm getting extra comfortable.
Easy on these fold-out chairs.
I didn't fold-out chair.
Take it easy, Spielbergo.
Oh, I suppose I could look like that, yeah.
Spielbergo.
Yeah.
That was the guy that Ronnie Burns brings in.
Yeah, no, yes. I know. It's find me a Spanish
critic
Spanish
crossover.
Speaking
over.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But he shows up later on.
We're all familiar.
Okay, good.
Aye, aye, Mr. Burns.
Spielbergo.
Yeah.
Spielbergo. So this girl was... she was a friend of my friend Mike's, and it was junior year, and he was over hanging out at my... My mom and my stepdad basically lived in this brand new townhome development in Littleton, Colorado. In fact, the only reason I didn't go to Columbine is because I went to private Catholic school. I was in Littleton for that my sophomore and junior year. And so there was nothing in Littleton, but it was there were like literally prairie dogs out back.
Adorable.
It was like you could just hit golf balls out of the backyard and just into the field.
The plains.
Yeah, it was just a big open field. Now it's crammed with, you know, Lowe's and Starbucks and everything. Like there's no...
So greatness.
Yeah, so exactly. America. So my friend Mike came over one afternoon after school, and he was talking to this girl on the phone. And of course, you had to talk on landlines back in those days.
Sure did.
And
twirl that cord around your finger, get all fucking hot and bothered.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Operator, get me...
KL5.
Klondike 455. And so he was talking to this friend of his, this girl named Kathy. And so... we hopped on the phone. Like, so he was like, here, I got to go to the bathroom. So he put her on the phone with me, and we started talking, and we totally hit it off, and
it was really cool. Whoa, you totally just fucking went in there and
swooped
her.
In.
They were just friends.
No one's just friends at that age.
There did not seem to be any romantic tension. Even if there had been, I was 16 years old. Yeah. So, I did tell the story of the time I almost lost my virginity when I was 15. Mm-hmm. Right? I think I told that story in my stand-up.
Familiar.
Okay.
We are? Well, then retell it for us, then.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so now we're going
familiar.
One level deeper in the inception. My best friend in high school in Denver, Rob, his dad was a lawyer in downtown Denver, not far from where the Comedy Works is, in Larimer Square. And so a bunch of us, Rob had his driver's license first, so he and these girls that we met that we were all sort of seeing... went to his dad's office like on a Sunday just to hang out. And then the girl that I was seeing, her parents and my parents were friends, and her parents were super, super Christian. And so, and then she was very free. She was very free.
Yeah.
Some might say to rebellious. Get back at the restrictions that she had in her life, but she was
loose.
Very free. She
loose.
Was very free. No, I'm not saying that. She had I know for a fact that she had been with several fellas. But and she was 15, and
oh,
so
my word, what kind of a world is this?
And so it was a pre-9/11 world.
Yeah,
I don't know. We're
how that simpler then.
And so
Chris thinks that's 9/11 is also when AIDS came around.
Oh man, so we are kind of fooling around in this office, this a law office under the desk, and I'm like, can we please have sex? I would really like to have sex. And she was like, all right. Like, for her, it was, you know, yeah, sure, whatever. So I had a condom, and I attached it. I fastened it to the area that goes. And then I basically got on top of her and just started kind of, like, squirming around. And the excitement of it, I mean, it felt good.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I was not in her.
Yeah.
And so it just, like, you know, wah-bam.
Yeah, yeah.
The genie had been summoned. and then I was like, it sort of reminded me of that kind of bit you do where you're like, no, I'm sorry. Like, it was like that sort of a thing. Yeah. And for some reason, she was that was the only shot I got at that.
Yeah.
For some reason, she was like, oh, and I'm like, can we try that again? Because I'm way ready to go. And she was like, oh, I'm
sorry. You only paid for the one.
What? Oh, I thought you were just borrowing money.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get rides.
So that was that. So that was a failed attempt when I was 15, where I almost lost my virginity in my friend's father's law office. But when I was 16, My friend Mike goes to the bathroom. This girl and I start talking on the phone. We totally hit it off. So I said, hey, would you mind if I called her later? And he said, no. So I called her that night and we talked for like 2 hours. And in my mind, this went on for weeks.
Yeah.
But I feel like in my teenage brain warped time, and it was really probably like 2 or 3 nights.
Yeah.
So by like the second or third night, we're just having these really intense conversations. And it's one of those ones where you're discovering that you can talk about philosophy and spirituality the universe. And yeah, just like one of those like super deep kinds of conversations. And so, but like one of the first ones.
Yeah, yeah.
It was
where it's like, I've never met anyone like
it. It was seminal and seminal. Guys. Guys, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Jonah! Oh, he's foaming! He's foaming at the mouth! And so we basically, within a couple of days, it was kind of that thing where we had still had never met in person. And I was like...
What she looked like?
No, no idea.
She could have been fugly.
Well, it didn't matter because I was like, look, I don't care what you look like. I'm totally in love with you. And she was like, well, I feel exactly the same way. So I said, it would be really great if we could meet in person. Yeah.
What bus route do you live near?
Well, basically. So I had just started driving. So I went to her house and I met her. And she was really cute. Like it was, I was like, oh my God, how did this happen? Mm. And she was wearing one of those dresses that was popular in the 80s. It was basically just like a sort of like the ones that the girls in the Robert Palmer videos would wear. Just that single
Jesus piece. Christ.
I know. And so we met and it was fucking great. And
But was it great fucking?
Well, yes. Because it always is for a guy. And so... it just so happened my parents were about to go out of town to Los Angeles where they were going to scout places to live because we were going to move. So, but I wasn't worried about that yet. It was still several months away. So my parents went out of town and then she came over. I mean, like we had sort of like planned it and she came over and we totally did it. And I remember, I totally remember being like in the act. And there was just like one like nightlight on in the corner of my room, and then just seeing the shadows of our bodies projected up against the wall, and just being so blown away of like, that's my body on top of that other shadow, and it was amazing. And then for me, anyway, she was 2 years older, so she was 18.
Yeah,
she had
done the deed.
She had totally done it before. So we just did it the one time, and then she went into her car, and then we held each other while Belinda Carlisle's I Get Weak played. And shut up, don't you laugh at me like that.
That's great.
And then the next day at school, I just felt like mega awesome. And then we had sex a handful more times.
How big of a hand?
Were the conversations still as enlightening, or did it become a thing in your teenage brain to just like, no, I just want to fuck?
Well, it was both of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a lot of talks about spirituality. I actually was kind of religious in those days because I was raised, I went to Catholic school.
Yeah,
I was raised, you know.
Didn't we all?
So we had a lot of, you know, she was agnostic, and so I was like, it's funny to think of me, you know, being this way, but I was... you know, totally arguing for the existence of God.
Wow.
Because I was like, what do you scream when you come? No, I didn't say that. And she didn't come. it was the other part of that equation. But it was really great. It was a great first sexual partner to have because, you know, she would call me up and say, what do you want me to do? And I would say, like, oh, do you have, like, a Catholic schoolgirl dress? And she was like, I'll be right over.
Wow.
So she would show up, and then we'd just go off in her car, and she would fuck me. And then I was like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
So this went on for a couple weeks. And then one day out of the blue, she just – it's just that high school thing where you just don't see it coming. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, this isn't really going to work for me anymore. And I was like, but I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you were just a piece of ass.
To her, I was.
Yeah.
Because it turned out that what I was able to piece together was that I think she was dating some other guy. at the time, and I think he had kind of fucked her over. His interest had waned or whatever, so she was sort of trying to get back at him or something.
Yeah.
And so that was it.
And then you moved.
And then I moved. So that was the end of that tale.
Painful. Do you know whatever ended up happening to her?
No, I don't know whatever happened to her. Huh.
Wouldn't you like to see her just to see if you?
Well, I'm curious. Well, the problem with Gen Xers is that there's enough of our lives that we're not captured online.
Yeah, so it's
harder. And so it's harder to find women who maybe change their names if they got married or you know. So it's very valuable piece of information I would need
to have. It's funny to me, like, when, like, you see people on Facebook that have their old last name along with their new married last name, like, in parentheticals. That's just so people can find you.
It's just so people can find you. Most of the people that I went to,
that's like just so people that used to fuck you can find you.
Is that what it? That's the only reason,
as far as I'm concerned,
or other classmates or anything like that?
Most of the people that I went to school with,
they're still friends. They know the new name.
They do?
Yeah.
You sure?
Pretty sure, Joe.
There's a lot of people that I didn't fuck.
I mean, it was a blank
that I didn't want to fuck that I probably changed their names.
Yeah, but a lot of your friends only have 12 letters to work with in their last names.
So. Umaokeo, Okalani.
Oh my god, I totally just remembered it. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I'm talking so much about myself, but I totally remembered.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast.
There was another. Aren't you glad you came here for this, Jonah? There was another girl that I was dating, and we never had sex. She ended up fucking one of my best friends, but I remember she lived in like an A-frame house where the front door was a landing, and then you'd go upstairs to the living room and downstairs to like the rec room, basement. Yeah, yeah. Dad had a pool table, and I remember
making
out with her on the floor, and my hand was like in her shorts, like. Really, just doing a lot of work, and just hearing her mother like shout her full name from the top of the stairs, like being caught. There was no, I was asked to leave immediately. It was one of those very
This
is the most catastrophic thing I could ever happen to anybody. So, what about you?
Virginity?
Yeah.
I always think of. Here's the thing, you like really like the person that you lost your virginity to.
Yeah.
You had like meaningful conversations. I lost my virginity to a girl that was in a band that was playing Hawaii that was there for like 2 days. And then on one of the nights, she came over to my place and had sex with me.
Was it Shirley Manson from Garbage?
It was not. Oh, okay. Oh God, if only. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it was this band from California, from Los Angeles, actually. And I kind of knew one of the guys from when I went on tour the summer before, and like the guys was in the band. So I was showing them around, kind of getting along with everybody. And she's like, well, let me get your number because maybe like we'll all come and hang out at your place after the show tonight. And I said, oh, that'd be really cool. I've been really digging hanging out with you guys. And then she's like texting me, hey, trying to get out of here. I'm like, all right, well, I have work in the morning. She's like, what do you want to drink? I was like, I don't, I had just started drinking. So I was like,
what was your job?
I was working at a record store called Jelly's.
Okay.
And I had to open. And it's, you know, for some reason. Key
holder?
No. Just it was a big store. And it was we opened at 8 in the morning for some reason.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, 8 in the morning, Hawaii is like noon everywhere else.
Yes. And so, you know, I'm waiting. And then finally there's a knock on my door. And then I open it. And she's just by herself. And I was kind of just like, oh, I wonder if this means sex.
How old were you?
I was 18, mm-hmm. Almost 19, and so I was like, I brought her in. She was being real weird and like kind of just like stiff and just. I was like, hey, so how was the show? It was good. Oh, that's cool. So what time's your flight tomorrow? In the afternoon. Well, this is great, but I'm gonna go to bed. Like I kind of just was like,
how
I'm gonna go
she?
To bed. She's at this point probably 23 or 24.
Okay.
Something like that. And so
doing it right.
I say, hey, I'll sleep in the living room here. You can sleep in this bedroom over here. And there was like a couch and a futon in there. And then she like comes in. She's like, hey, the air conditioner's too loud. Can you turn it off? I was like, yeah, sure. I go inside and I turn the air conditioner off. She's like, hey, there's a radio on. I can't turn it off. I was like, this is the worst. this is so
like
fucking
a Seinfeld
here.
Scene.
Yeah.
Scene.
You want the air conditioner loudness on, you know?
Hmm?
Was this at your apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you weren't at your parents' house.
No. I was living in an apartment with my brother. But what, why wouldn't I want... It was
I was just thinking you were at your parents' house and you'd want the sound. You would want
No. She was like, you know, and so... And then she, like, I go and I go, all right, cool, like, but I fucking have to work in the morning, please. Just don't bother me anymore. I was trying to be nice. I was like, I know you're a weirdo. You're just a weirdo. Stop bugging me. I got
to
go to bed.
You're a girl in a band who came over. I have to get up and stand in a record store tomorrow.
Yeah. and it was neat too, because like, it's like, you know, every guy in the scene was like, oh, she's so hot, you know? And
nice.
I go, leave me the fuck alone.
You said, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, like, leave me the fuck alone. I gotta work anymore. And she's like, do you use the futon or do you use the couch? I was like, I use the couch usually because the futon sucks. She's like, it seems nice. And I was like, no. And I laid on it and I was like, see, my feet dangle off the side and I kind of like my back. I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, I don't like it. I don't like it. And then she rolls over, puts her hand on my face. I had only really ever made out with one other girl, and then she just like brings me in for the most aggressive makeout session. Like it hurt my face. It was a real aggressive makeout session, and then we ended up just like having sex for like hours.
What?
Yeah,
that's fun for no
one. Oh man,
yeah.
I think I was probably just a few minutes, and yeah. I think the whole time I was like, oh, if you can just make it to a couple minutes, it won't be.
Well, I think the difference here is Jonah didn't want to be there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, like I was excited, but it was one of those things where I was like, I was so confused and bewildered by the situation, and but it's neat at the same time. I'm in my head going, I can't believe this is happening. That's probably why. You know, I was lasting longer than I should have, because I was just like, what is happening? What is my life? And then, you know, like, finally, like, at the end of it, she's like, what time do you have to get up for work? And I said, oh, I usually get up at, 7 o'clock. And then we go to bed, and then the alarm goes off, and it's like 6:30, and then she wants to have more sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then we did, and then, like, I had to rush over to work, and I couldn't find... all my clothes were like in the wash, and I forgot to put them in the dryer, so I had no clean underwear to put on, and then I had to go straight to work.
Commando, or
yeah,
you gotta wash up and go commando.
Yeah, it was pretty, right? It was pretty fucking disgusting, but it was like it was a weird thing where sex for me was a very just like physical thing, it was a long time for me to connect sex with like emotional. Intimacy.
Interesting.
Because it's like, because the first time I had it, the first way I came to know it was like through this hookup, this one time hookup. And I ended up hooking up with that girl like a year after that, and then a year after that.
Nice. Oh, nice. Annual.
Yeah. She came through.
Yeah. It was really weird.
I like that you work at like a big record store, and then someone would come in and go, you smell like sex. What? I'm looking for the band You Smell Like Sex.
Yeah. I remember there was a guy.
It would have been the Marcy Prigg playground era.
Sex and Candy.
There was a guy that came in at the store that day, and I was just kind of in a haze. I was just like, what the fuck happened? And then he's like, hey, man, hey, did you end up seeing any of that band's shows? I was like, yeah. He's like, man, that girl singer was so hot. Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah. He's like, everyone was trying to hook up with her. I was like, yeah. Did any? And he's like, no. I was like, cool. I did.
Oh, you told him?
Yeah. Nice. He's like, what? What? And then I was like, and then I was like, I lost my virginity last night. and the guy was just started jumping up and down, pumping his fist. He's knocking over things.
His chain wallet is jangling.
was the sex part better in subsequent years? Did it get any kind of nicer?
Yeah, it was weird, you know. It was just one of those things where I was comfortable with it because of how it was just sex and it wasn't really anything more. But, you know, it was odd. It was odd. And she ended up, you know, like kind of getting hardcore into drugs and kind of like went off the deep end, ended up becoming a meth dealer, and then went to jail for a long time.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Conjugal visits?
No. I didn't really interact with her during that time. Another weird part of it too is the last couple times, it was like she had a boob job.
Well, how'd that work out?
It's real odd. I don't recommend it
to
anybody.
Never encountered that in life.
They're not.
I've never dated anyone who had a boob job either. I personally don't like
boob job.
Yeah. A boo boo job.
Yeah.
Where you?
Let's boo boo.
Where you have your tits formed in the shape of honey boo boo?
Oh, I was just thinking of
Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just too much. Like I don't mind. I kind of like. Since we're being male.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this like coming off too male, Kyle?
I kind of prefer like small boobs. Like, I don't need big, giant. Like people who are like, yeah, jugs. I'm like, I don't.
No.
You can have that in sports.
Thank
nice.
You.
Yeah.
There's another wrong. That's the thing. It's a, you know, I've had some girlfriends where they're just like, I was like, makes a shirt look better on you. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't recommend big fake boobs either.
No.
I mean, obviously, if you had some sort of a medical thing happen and you want to...
You ever come across that? I came across that once.
No.
Yeah, this is becoming real, like, shop talk with the fellas. Hey, the Jockest presents, when did you get...
Brought to you by Jack Lynx.
Feed the beast inside you after you're done feeding her yours.
Messing with Bigfoot and then fucking him.
Yeah. It was a girl that had a hysterectomy, right? Is that the
mastectomy? She had a fake uterus.
Point. Yeah, sorry, yeah, mastectomy. But yeah, so she had one. So it was one of those things where it's like one was regular, and they looked the same, but they were completely different.
You can the feeling is a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah,
what about when did you lose your virginity?
I'm the most normal of the bunch. Like 17 to my high school girlfriend. She was a cheerleader. I was a football player. You know.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You played football?
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck this Nerdist thing is all about, you guys. It's time to get real with everyone.
I know he's wearing a fucking sports hat.
How could a sports hat?
Fuck you.
Well, that's a
Red Sox hat.
Yeah, it's a Red Sox hat.
It's a baseball cap. It's what happens when my hair gets too long. I put on a hat.
Your hair looks good right now.
It's a little long. It's a little longer than I like it.
So you had a long term girlfriend.
Yeah, we dated for a while. Went to Catholic school. So that was, Catholic schoolgirls. It's true what they say.
Yes.
They will suck your dick in the science room. They say that, right?
God.
Do they say that?
This is the most...
Because if they don't say that, they should start saying that.
Nerdist Podcast, now presented on the Corolla Podcast Network.
It's Ace Broadcasting.
This show just got so male. Katie is doubled over with laughter.
Yeah.
You see, Chris, I just finished hanging some drywall, and I came over...
Ah, oh, man. You can't open the ketchup packets. They're so tiny. You know what?
I don't think you should use the coffee stirrer, then throw it away. I put it back.
By the way, I love Adam. I'm just saying that Adam's POV is a little more male than we tend to be.
Well, he was on the Man Show.
Yes.
Come on.
But that's something to talk about. You know, this is just conversation. This is our lives.
Yeah.
Like, and it is real. There's no reason why we can't talk about this stuff. No, we should.
We should, for sure.
And we're not.
I played baseball, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I played baseball in Little League.
Yeah.
Did you? I didn't.
Played high school baseball and football.
What position?
Third base.
No.
What position? Doggy.
Third base. Doggy.
So you were a football player.
Yeah.
And you're, but in high school, weren't you like, were you like
big? I was a big guy.
You were a big guy.
Yeah, that's why I played football. I was a nose guard, which is the fattest guy on the field.
Is that a defensive?
Yeah, it's the guy who stands in front of the center, who throws the center out of the way to get to the quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah.
That
was me.
So this girl was
I had a great personality.
Long-term girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a year and a half or 2 years almost.
And did you...
In high school, that's a fucking long time.
Were you bugging... It really is, because that's most of your high... That's like a third of your high school, almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
So are you bugging her for sex, or is it just like, oh, it's
no,
just
we
right
just,
now?
No, we had done everything but, like, up at the, and I had done everything but, like, in seventh grade through eighth grade, ninth grade.
Everything like, but?
Everything but sex.
Oh, everything but.
No. We like, you know, you'd come around, you'd round all the bases, Chris, and you'd see home and you'd be like, I don't know if we're ready to do that yet.
Right.
Let's just hang around third for a while.
Right.
So, you know, and that was going on constantly. And she was actually the one who pressured me in the, it wasn't like a lot of pressure. It didn't take a lot for me to say sure.
Right.
She was going to work a shift at Demoulas Market Basket.
Which is, I don't know why specific names make things funnier. Yeah.
Which is the best fucking grocery store in New England. It's called, their slogan is More for Your Dollar.
I like and how this has to do with
you. Demoulas, pop your cherry and get some cherries.
And like the PA guy always comes on and goes, attention, Market Basket shoppers. Tonight we have pineapples on sale. Four for your dollar. That's
good detail about dollar, you yeah. losing your virginity,
but it's just, that's what I love.
Demoulas.
Demoulas. Well, it was the Demoulas. Anyway, forget it.
So were you Market planning basket. It that night or did it
no,
just
no,
happen?
No. She was late. She was like going, she had to go to work. And like, I was just over there because I had a sweet, sweet Saturn. And we were fooling around a little bit beforehand. And she was like, oh, I got to get to work. And I was like, yeah, well, all right, get to work. And she's like, well, we should have sex before I go to work. I was like, what?
Yeah, I want to be in mild discomfort as I'm at work tonight.
Yeah, I'm like, you sure? She's like, yeah, I want to have sex before I go to work. I was like, all right, then let's have sex before you go to work. And then we had sex before we went to work. She went to work. I
was it quick or?
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't
nothing right home about.
What did you talk about right afterwards?
Her being late for work. I mean, it's just, you got to get going. You got stuff to do. And then she went to work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that was a typical Boston virginity loss?
I think the with Market Basket being involved, yes.
And so were you? Because I think sort of demystify. I think a lot of guys are more scared about it than they would let on. I mean, I was terrified and like shaky and.
Yeah. I mean, I was certainly, the first time I put my hand on a boob was like so terrifying to me.
Yeah.
But I, God damn it, did I love it. I was like, this is where my hand belongs. Finally figured it out.
Is that when you start gaining weight so you can have
yeah.
your own?
I was like, I'm going to just do this all day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Built in. Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, yeah. Like, I just remember my just heart thumping like crazy. Like, I thought I was going to have a heart attack.
These are important
And I was,
stories.
Like, just touching a nipple.
Because when Kyle loses his virginity, he's going to need to know, like, what's coming down the pipeline.
If I was Kyle, I would just be making my way through the interns. That's what I would be doing.
Oh,
if I was Kyle.
Come on. Oh. No. Oh.
That's what I would be doing, I'm saying. Yeah, no.
Were you together for a while after that?
Not too long after that. And she wanted to get back together, like there was a while where she wanted to get back together, and I didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, because sex, like once you, especially when you're young, it's like that's sort of the
we broke up in computer class. Like, I remember vividly remember our breakup because it was so weird because like she was like getting tired of me.
Print, we need to see other people. 20,
she was
go to 10,
to me,
30,
she
run.
She drew a chart, a pie chart, you know, because we're doing Excel. So she made a pie chart of like how much time she wanted. So like she had like me time, which would be for her saying me time, Matt time, and like friends time. And friends time was like 70% of the chart. And then the me time was like 25% of the chart, and then the
smaller,
Matt time was 5% of the chart. And I was like, you know what? We don't have to do anything together. You can have this. Why don't you make it 30% you time? And then you can still be with your friends, and then we'll break up.
And you were okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little perturbed by it.
Perturbed. I was so devastated every time someone broke up with me. Like, just...
Like, my angle was always get a female best friend and then fall in love with her. That was for the fucking rest of my existence. That was my angle.
That's kind of what happened to me for a very long time.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be best friends with this girl and then be secretly in love with her.
That was so crazy how like I lost my virginity because I was such a romantic for, you know, this like being like, you know, friends with the girl and falling in love and she'll understand that I'm the guy that, and then like I just get. Yeah. Some lady.
I'm always Andrew Lincoln in Love Actually.
Yeah.
I'm always fucking out there with the sign. To me, you are perfect.
Oh yeah, trying to think of the heroic, romantic gesture that's gonna, you know, get her back.
Yeah,
and that we all think will work because
everyone wants to hold the fucking boombox above their head while In Your Eyes plays.
John Cusack fucked a bunch of guys. I just
fuck you,
over.
Lloyd Dobler.
Yeah.
Oh, he fucked a bunch of guys over by pulling that.
Yeah, just
so that
everyone always think like, oh, I'm gonna do this grand gesture.
Have you ever met a girl that liked Peter Gabriel? I haven't.
Yeah. God, I don't think I think pretty much. I mean, I always got dumped. I never was the person breaking up with. I mean, like maybe. Maybe once or twice, but I was always the guy who got dumped, and I was always shattered by it, like just devastated.
Yeah, I was.
Did you? I know you have had the whole "let's I'm going to be best friends and in love with you and not tell you" thing.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering if you have, Chris.
Yeah, I had it. I had it in college with the girl where I was fucking so crazy about her. And I basically just I watched her like go to fraternity parties and then just hook up with random dudes who, like the kinds of dudes that I both loathed and was jealous of because I didn't have, I was always too much in my own head, and I didn't have that thing that like that just like some dudes just have where they just don't give a fuck, like you know, there's floaters and scrappers, you know, like some people just float.
Yeah,
and shit just they float to the top, and they just, shit just comes to them. And I was a scrapper, like I really wanted to understand, like, well, why can't I'm, you know? And it's sort of that young philosophy of like, but I'm nice, and I'm the one who's picking her up drunk after she's hooked up with someone. Why can't she see?
Well,
you know,
that.
It was just like a lot of times young girls are not interested in the guy who's going to caretake them, other than that he's their friend. Yeah. They want to, at least the girls that I had experience with, and I don't mean all girls, so I don't want to piss anyone off, but I mean a lot of young girls are essentially, it feels like, from my point of view, they were rebelling and just kind of like finding their sexuality and power and so it just, I did not figure into that, and we hooked up with this girl, and I hooked up like one, oh, so devastating. Oh, I can't believe I want to tell this story.
At least you fucking hooked up with her.
We hooked up. We
never
had sex.
I never got that to happen.
We never had sex. We made out one night, and it got really hot and heavy, and it was like, this was it for me. This was
right.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe this is happening. I think maybe I was 20. I was like 20 years old. I can't believe this is happening. This is the most intense. This is what I was, you know, this was supposed to be this way. And something happened where, this is so embarrassing. Her shirt was off, and she just had her bra on, and we were making out, and
nice.
I was kissing all over, and no pants were off, and all of a sudden, I looked up, and she was covered in blood. I got a nosebleed. So excited that I had a nosebleed on her, and she freaked out. She freaked out because it was gross. And, you know, and I was like, I am sorry. And then, of course, when I go into that mode, that's not attractive either.
Yeah.
You know, like hyperactive apology guy. Yeah. I'm practically in tears because I'm so embarrassed. Or maybe I might have just burst into tears because it's a horribly embarrassing in that situation. And then she was convinced that I was doing drugs, and that's why my nose was bleeding. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
I've barely just started to discover I'm an alcoholic. I don't do drugs. And so then we didn't hook up again, and then we didn't hook up again for a while, and then a month went by, and we hooked up again, and I was like, okay, this time things are going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So we hook up again. This is very detailed. Pants come off.
Yeah, dick bleed. Ugh.
Hi, dick bleed, CPA. And then,
come on, kids, have sex in my office on Sunday.
So I went down on her, and I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe it. You know, I'm doing the Sam Kinison lick the alphabet trick.
Yeah.
Why did you laugh like that, Katie? You just kribopled me. And this is very graphic, but she was very stubbly. And so it basically tore a blister on my chin, made it weird again, because she just saw that she basically just laughed at me like, ha, 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 and then didn't reciprocate anything and then left.
Oh, shit.
So it was one of these situations where the reason that I tell this story so graphically is that it was a situation where I feel like She used me when she wanted to feel better about herself.
Yeah.
But if I ever wanted to hook up with her, she was like, "No, we're just friends." Like, it was almost like, "No, fuck, you're like my brother. I don't want to fucking." And so it, and I could not stop myself from constantly falling into the trap over as many times as I got burned by it. I was still always here's what girls need to understand about guys, and something that I tell about, you know, like, because I've known. Girl, I mean, like a lot of girls have guy friends that, and it almost always like, why can't we be more? And then a lot of times the girl's like, well, you know, you have to, I don't feel that way about you.
Yeah.
But the way that a guy brain works is that a guy, because I guess just biologically the way we work is that we will subsist on any molecule of hope and we will look for hope. So if a girl is even, so that's why like sometimes.
We are all Andy Dufresne.
Yes.
Yeah.
So swimming through a pile of shit that you can't even imagine. And so so a lot of times, you know, if I know girls who have a problem with like guy friends falling in love with them, I've said to them before, like, you have to set clear boundaries, because if you don't set clear boundaries, if you're just like, hey, I'm just calling you up to see if you want to go to lunch, a guy will read that as, oh my God, I have a chance.
Yeah.
But it's like, we cannot help it. We look for any shred of hope. And so don't be a dick to people, but at least kind of let a guy know where he stands.
Yeah.
Because it's a crushing blow to get hope and then have it like swatted down.
Be honest, you know, have your boundaries.
But here's what the guy brain will do to the honesty situation. They won't care.
You're right.
Yeah.
Not going to care
at all.
Because
they don't want
to
believe
it. And they're just going to continue to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've decided...
In your head, you've decided that at the end of the movie, we are together.
Yeah. It's not a long journey from, like, teenage guy to stalker. Because you're constantly going, oh, well, I know she says this now, but maybe she doesn't mean it, or maybe I can convince her.
I'll keep on asking. You keep on trying.
You cannot convince someone... to have romantic feelings for you.
Especially if you're 17 years old and you have a car and then you drive by their house at night.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, and I've talked about this before, I think, but it's the little interstitials in When Harry Met Sally, and they have, like, you know, the old couples.
Right.
And, like, you know, they have the old couple going, you know, she worked at a deli on 34th Street, and every day I would go in and I would ask her out on a date.
Yeah.
And every day she said no.
Yep.
Until one day.
Yeah.
I think in those days when people had less choices.
Yeah, yeah. But like the idea that he just broke her down enough to...
I watch the fucking Bargain Hunt, the UK version, but they talk about the couples that are there competing. Yeah. And they're always these old British couples. And they're all their stories are always, he wouldn't stop asking.
But you can tell that... I think you can tell the difference between when... someone says, like, I'm not going to go out with you. And, like, there's a little bit of a flirty tone versus, like, this is never going to happen.
I don't even know.
There was a girl that in my senior year of high school, I wasn't planning on going to the prom, but there was this girl whose boyfriend was kicked out of high school. Mm-hmm. So she needed a date. I was just, like, you know, resident kind of, like, funny guy and that these girls knew. Like, you should go with Melissa. And I was like, sure. And I kind of had a crush on her friend, but I never really thought of her. But we end up, like, you know, hanging out, getting ready for the prom and just kind of becoming pretty good friends. And I was just like, it's like, wow, this girl's incredible. It's like, I had no idea this girl was so smart and funny. And she always just seemed like a surfer girl, you know?
Yeah.
And then her and her boyfriend broke up. And so we started spending more time together. And she was being like, you know, like making stuff for me and giving me presents and a lot of attention. And then, like, we kind of like reel back. And then we go to the prom and it's a blast. And then we go to this after party and she gets drunk and hooks up with some like 23-year-old dude.
Oh no.
And, you know, I'm devastated. And then, but then, like, you know, it's like, she's still kind of hanging out with me. And then, like, she stops hanging out with him. And then she starts hooking up with this other guy right away.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, oh fuck, man. I kind of felt like she was maybe falling for, you know, the whole thing of just maybe.
Yeah.
And then, this thing happens where I'm kind of like devastated. I could tell she's starting to like hang out with this guy. And then my phone rings and I answer it and it's her phone that had butt dialed my phone.
Yeah.
And it's her and that guy in a car together.
Oh, yeah.
Telling each other like how much they love each other. And then they start like making out. And
jerk
then
off.
And like,
did you jerk off?
No. I was yeah, yeah. And I used the tears as lube.
Great lube. Endless supply.
Yeah. And so
I would say bad lube because of the salt content.
It's true. Stings. And I'm just like, just, you know, just stonefaced, just like, what the, like, what? And, you know, and then she gets out of the car, and then she like notices her. She's like, hello, hello, Jonah. And then I just hang up. And then like I call back and it goes straight to her voicemail because she's still trying to fiddle with her phone. And I leave this, you know, message.
Oh, no. That you can't take back.
Like, yeah, I'm just like how, you know, that whole crazy speech of just like, how dare you like look at something as special as what we have? And like we get along and all this. And maybe because I don't, you know, I don't have the body of a surfer. I'm this or that, or, you know, or it's like, and to just kind of throw that, just this whole huge romantic
a snapshot
speech.
Of the point where you're the most vulnerable that maybe you've ever been in your life.
Yeah. And like, I'm just unloading it on this message. And then she calls back. She's like, hey, did my phone call you? I go, yeah. She's like, what was up? I was like, did you listen to your message that I left you? She's like, no, I just called you back. I was like, listen to your message. Why? Just lose your message. What the fuck? And then I hang up. And then she calls back and she's like, and I was leaving the next day, like for tour. Like the idea was to move here, but I was leaving for tour. I was going to be leaving the next morning. And she's like, how long have you felt that way? I was like, it was probably like prom around then time. And, you know, just, you know, going through all the stuff. And she's like, oh, when do you leave? I said, tomorrow. She's like, all right, well, I have something to give you. I'll give it to you at the airport. And so, the next morning I get up and I go to the airport and a bunch of people are there, like, you know, cause you can go up to the gate and say goodbye. And she gets there really. She's like, I'm so sorry. I got a speeding ticket. I got pulled over here. And she hands me an envelope. And then I get on the plane and the plane starts taking off. And this is probably where it all started with me crying on planes. It's a letter from her saying that she did really like me and she did love me. And then she's like, and I'm not just saying that because you're leaving. I'm not just saying that because you said that to me. Here's proof. And she had torn out some pages out of her diary from, you know, a month before.
Jesus Christ.
And it's all these things about like how she's conflicted. She's like, I don't normally like guys like this, but we get along so well. And I do these things where I make stuff for him and I want him to be my boyfriend. And I fantasize about us like living a life together and having cats and like just this whole beautiful thing. And, you know, like just, you know, we would just be two creative souls and, you know, just... And this, and I just, I'm bawling. I'm just crying on the plane, like reading this stuff over and over and over
again. Altitude.
What?
Altitude.
Yeah, altitude as well. And then, and just like devastated because I was like, I didn't know how to feel because I was like, what if I did make that move during one of those moments?
Movie today is The English Patient.
But what if I did make the move like during one of those moments where she was like, yeah, I think I would want to be with him. You know? Yeah.
And so why did you think you didn't at the time? Were you afraid?
Yeah, I was afraid of rejection. There's one thing I think in a guy's mind when it's and it's the physical representation of a girl kind of like politely denying you is the idea of going in for a kiss and the girl going, what are you doing? As she leans back.
Oh yeah.
The embarrassment and the rejection that you cannot ever get, where in your mind you feel like, I'll never recover from that. Because once you've exposed yourself, it's like, oh, that's where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. And you can never like go, you can't just do the like, you know, jump back to reality where you're just like, don't worry about it.
By the way, I'm totally happy if...
I don't even know. I'm trying to think if I've ever done that. Got in for a kiss and gotten rejected.
Oh, I have for sure. Yeah. Oh my God, so many times. I was the friend for a long time.
But I would never try to... I never tried to go in for the kiss.
Yeah.
I was sure.
Do you want to know an epilogue to that story, though?
Yeah.
So 3 years later, I'm on tour with a band, Dios, and we're up in Seattle where she's living then. And then she had just broken up with a guy, and like we're hanging out because it's, you know, 3 years have gone by, and we're friends. Don't worry about it. And then we get drunk, and then like we're at her place, and she reveals that she's like, I've kind of like been thinking about you a lot, and I think I'm still like I'm in love with you, and then we like end up crying and hugging and making out and then having sex and then kind of start this. And then like, it's like a band. I was like, I'm going to stick around and hang out in Seattle for a little while, guys. And I stay for like 2 weeks and just hanging out. We're having a blast. And then she, I go back to LA and then she comes down to visit in LA. And then it gets kind of weird at the end of it. And then I go and visit her on her birthday and it's great. But then it gets weird at the end of it. And then I'm driving. It was Thanksgiving. I was in Tahoe visiting my parents. And I was going to drive back to LA. And like right when I'm leaving on this 8-hour drive, I get a call from her saying she doesn't want to be together anymore.
That it's so funny when you say there should be a word for that kind of weirdness.
Yeah.
Where, because when people are young and inexperienced, they don't. It's that moment where it's one of them has made the decision where of like, well, I don't want to do this anymore, but they don't know how to express it, and so they still hang out, and the other person just knows like something's not right.
Something's not right
in the air.
Yeah,
and then so you. Or at least I would, you know, foolishly, like, try harder.
Yeah.
And then try harder.
Push them away.
Just pushes them away.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's fucking so... it's so bad.
And then
bad.
Just a fucking eight-hour drive by myself.
Oh, God.
Thinking about it.
Oh, I had a girl break up with me in college, like, the day that she was leaving to go away for the summer. And it was that thing where everything was awesome and everything was fine. And then the day before she was about to leave... It got weird.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's exactly, your bit is so genius where you say like, the girl has decided she's been processing the breakup for months.
yeah.
And to the guy, he's just like, what's that? And then all of a sudden, then she breaks up, like she'll end it. And then she seems fine. And the guy's like, how can you not be devastated? It's like, oh, because it's been going on in the other person. I mean, I know that the gender will flip on that sometimes, but. I always felt like it was...
That's the thing. A couple of people said that about that bit. They're like, so girls are evil. I go, no, you have to understand. I'm speaking from my own experience.
My own experience was that, too.
Yeah.
My own experience was definitely that, too. And it would just... I think one of the reasons why I'm so guarded now as a person is because I'm... If I let myself... really open up, I am so sensitive that everything would destroy me.
Yeah.
I'm just too... I'm empathic, so I absorb other people's emotions. I feel things. I can't... It's hard for me to watch dramatic films because I just get so like, fuck, I feel it too much. And I think that's a lot of what the drinking was about.
Oh, yeah. Like numbing off. Numbing off. Like just like being a raw nerve.
Yeah.
I should start drinking.
No. Or in your case, for a long time, eating. Like, it's just like feeling all these things, and you know that when you don't have power over an uncontrollable world, the thing that you can control is what you put into your body, whether it's food or alcohol or whatever, because you can immediately change how you feel in a moment. And even if that is bad, it's still you controlling. It's still just a way that you're controlling the situation.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about that the other week, where it's like you said, you know, drinking like gave you almost like a. Unofficial schedule. Like it was at night and you weren't sure what party you were going to or what you were going to do.
Yeah.
You knew if you drank, you knew the times that you would feel certain ways.
Oh yeah.
Like throughout the evening.
Because if you're an experienced drinker, you know, like this is how many drinks it takes to get to this point.
Yeah.
Then past this point, I'm feeling really this way.
Yeah.
After this, I'll probably be pretty fucked up. So I should save that until I get to this place. So I know where to.
Exactly.
And it's exactly like we were talking about when you were traveling. Cause you said you're not drinking at all for January.
Yeah. I slipped, but
from January, from now through the end of January,
it was a good week, Chris.
I bet it was, but it,
I mean, Chris, come on. It's almost the middle of January.
But when you're traveling too, like and you're in unfamiliar territory, it's like the one thing you can control is how you feel with a substance, be it drugs, alcohol, food, whatever.
Oh.
You can instantly control how you feel. And or at least you know you can predict how you're going to feel.
Yeah.
So it makes you feel like you're in control.
But it's poor man's, you know, antidepressants.
Yeah.
Where it's just, it's like, I know this is going to make me regular. This is going to put me in a place where I know how I'm going to
feel. Even if it's not good, it's familiarity.
Yeah.
It's predictability and familiarity.
Yeah. It's like, the reason people go eat a McDonald's when they're in a foreign country. And they go, I know this.
Really fresh baguettes right over there.
But I know what I can get here. And I know what I want.
Food poisoning.
Yes.
There's fresh baguettes right over there.
Yeah.
Matt's coughing from the truth.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay. Katie, has any of this been enlightening to you or disturbing or disgusting or...
Katie, do you have a best friend who's a male?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's funny that we went from talking about pussy to just talking like pussies.
Yeah, that's the evolution of the Nerdist Podcast. That's how we go.
Yeah, then I totally went in there and I banged this chick and then I cried about it for like 3 hours. And I cried because
we all have emotions.
And it's like, why doesn't she want to call me back? Didn't she feel the connection?
I gave her the fucking big dick. You know what I'm saying? This fucking bitch.
I mean, it was an okay size.
I fucking love her, man.
I don't know. What, did I not do a good job? What's wrong with me? Why do I keep repeating this pattern?
That was a shining moment in her sexual fantasy, and now I'm just sitting by myself.
I would be very happy if
guys,
if anyone wanted to send in questions. Quemants that were...
yeah, if you want to ask us personal questions, go ahead.
No, I'm not... Well, not only that, but then also just answering questions as honestly as possible is like, this is how we think the male brain works. Like, if you want to use us as... You know, like I can feel like the triangulation of the three of us, our individual experiences, will have there'll be a nice cross section.
I think the three of us really have a lot of similar, like, sort of experiences.
Well, we were emotionally immature.
Yeah, emotionally immature humans, and like just that whole. I mean, the whole. I can't. That whole being the best friend thing. I know there are people listening to this podcast who right now are in the middle of that.
Oh, the friend zone's the worst feeling in the world.
It's not going to pan out for you, buddy. I'm just going to let you know right now. It is not going to pan out for you.
But
no matter how much you think it is.
But you know what, though? But I'll tell you something.
I know who you're talking about.
Yes. We were in Toronto a couple years ago, and there was like a few kids hanging out. There was this, like fans on the Nerdist, so like me and Matt are hanging out with them, having some drinks with them, and they're all great. They're all really fine. But there was this one kid that looked like young me, and there was this
he looked like Jonah and I had just finished morphing together.
Yeah, but real sweet, funny kid. And then he drove through being fans of the Nerdist. Him and this girl kind of met. They found that they were in the same city, and they drove hours to go to Toronto to go see us perform. And
I know they're
and like, you know, I'm I just know like, we're all hanging out and it, you know, everyone's having a blast, but I can see the way he's looking at her and I can see the way she's looking at him.
Jonah and I even had asides about it.
And then at the end of the night, he was like, you know, I'm not sure if you know, but like, I kind of have a crush on that girl. And I was like, oh, I know. And I'm sure she does too. But at this point, you just got to fucking not think about it, and you got to fucking walk away.
Well, because the thing that's refreshing to know is that it feels like it's a pit that you're never going to get out of.
Yeah.
But you do get out of the pit, and when you do, it's the most freeing. Like
sometimes
that,
you have to move to L.A. to get out of the
pit. That morning where you wake up and... You know, and there's a minute where you don't know where you're. It's like, it's usually right before when you're bummed about something. It's like that moment of happiness before the sadness pours into your brain. You're like, oh, right! Like, you're just like,
fucking
where it's just like someone's dumping a coffee pot full of tragedy on your brain that you had forgotten about.
You've forgotten that you're in the middle.
Like, where you just feel
it trickle
down.
Oh, this side of the mattress is really
But the moment where you wake up and that doesn't happen is one of the greatest feelings in the world. And you really, as much as it seems like you won't get over things, you will. And you will meet the right person at some point. We're never good judges of what's best for us. So when you look at someone, you go, "Oh, it'd be so great if I had that person." The truth of the matter is, it might not be great.
Yeah.
If it might not be great.
Yeah.
And so you will meet that right person. But I mean, like the second girl that I ever had sex with, who was at that point, I was more in love with her than anyone and any amount of love I could have ever felt for anyone. I was just devastated when we broke up. Like it was like extra devastated. Yeah. It took a while. Like she was my first. I really cared about the girl that I lost my virginity to, but this girl was like the fucking high school love. Like I could never. The thought of not being with her was crazy, and I just found out maybe like a year or two ago that she died.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Like a year or two ago, she died. I believe she had cancer.
Oh man!
And she died, and I felt sad. I mean, I felt like, oh man, I can't believe. But I know that there's a time that if that had happened in my life, I probably would have just like jumped into traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's awful that happened to her. But at least the reason that I'm telling the story is no matter how much you feel like you can't live without a person, that it does get better.
Yeah.
At some point. I mean, it does heal up at some point. Yeah. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible thing that happened to this poor girl. But yeah. But you know, if it had happened, you know, 20 years ago, I would have been done.
Yeah, anytime I'm in a breakup or, you know, having a hard time getting over somebody, I try to tell myself, you know, my mantra becomes like, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Like it's happened to you before. Yeah. And then you try to do that thing like, no, this one's
different. This is different this time because
it meant something. No, it's because it ended, it's exactly like the other ones. Because it didn't work out, it's exactly like the other ones, and therefore you'll get over it. Mm. That's the thing you always got to remember.
It's interesting. It really is. Like, you know, I'm recently getting out of a relationship, and it feels different, but only in the sense that like we don't hate each other, which is an odd sort of adult thing. to encounter.
Jen and I didn't hate each other when we broke up. It was painful, but it wasn't. Yeah. It was a very like, but we still care about each other and respect each other. And no, so
Matt
let's
brought that
be
up.
Friends. Yeah. And let's make this as clean as possible and actually respect each other as human beings.
Yeah. And because you guys weren't married, there was no like extra complication.
Well, there was the complication of moving out of the house,
there was the house and the dog and the cat.
And, but I felt, I don't know, it just seemed like, well,
I mean, that was what, 7 years, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm just like getting out of a year and a half relationship. Yeah. So it's not like, you know. But like for you, like what was the sort of like thought process you had after you sort of walked out of the house for the last time and were like, okay, that's it.
Well,
good vibrations started to play, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and then everything was fine. Yeah. No, when there's the shock of like, is this happening? I can't believe this is happening. Is this happening? Because we'd never really.
Was there any part of you that was like, oh, it's easier just to stay together. Let's just stay together.
Well, of course. I think that's why people stay in things.
Yeah, it's
for
exactly
so long,
why people stay in things.
Because, again, a familiar, comfortable thing is better than an unknown, scary thing what if? What if I've fucked this up? What if I should be with this person? What if I never meet another person again? What if I'm damaged? I mean, I am.
Yeah.
But, and so I went to a hotel. Like, I immediately...
Went to the London.
It happened. I went to the London Hotel. Yeah, it happened. And, you know, we broke up. She left very upset. It was actually July 4th. And I went to the London Hotel. And I was still kind of like... you know, just that sort of like... So... It's kind of like that feeling of when you... When you fall really hard and then you just get up and your body's in shock and you're just I went to the roof. There's a restaurant on the roof. I ordered food.
Gordon Ramsay restaurant.
Watched fireworks, which
That's
was
right.
weird.
I remember, yeah.
And then I went back to the hotel. And then at the end of dinner, I started feeling like, I'm not, something inside is feeling very wiggly. Like I just feel like, and I went downstairs and just lost it. Like was just... Lost it. I mean, I think
because it's all built up.
Well, it's built up,
you're not
and
processing
it's,
it.
It's 7 years, and it's you know, and it's like, you know, we loved each other, but it just like something about the romantic part of the relationship
just fell apart.
You know, relationships take work. You have to put energy into them, and if you allow yourselves to grow apart, then that's at a certain point,
that's what happens.
It's just not fixable,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, I cherish the experience and, you know, I feel, and I'm super happy that I met Chloe and that we had the chance to have a relationship. So I'm not, you know, I don't regret it. I don't regret any of it.
You told me about that right after the space shuttle ended. I was like, oh, now you're telling me this ended too, Chris? I just saw the last space shuttle launch and now Janet's out of my life.
The point is that, you know, if Jana and I had stayed in a thing that was just familiar where we weren't getting what we needed, she wouldn't have gone off to... I mean, like, she's got from what I understand, a really fantastic boyfriend now, and I have Chloe, and we never would have had those experiences. Yeah. Like,
he's got a pretty sweet beard.
So he does have a sweet beard.
Yeah, which makes me feel like I had a shot.
With Janet?
Yeah.
Because you have a beard?
Yeah.
You're a cock. That reminds me of, the time that... I love Louis C.K., but that thing in his act where he talks about what a piece of shit he is, he's kind of a piece of shit in a funny way, because he, like a couple of years after I broke up, after a girl and I stopped seeing each other, he emailed me and asked if he could get her number to take her to dinner. And I was like, well, and because it was Louis, I was like, oh, well, I mean, you know, of course, you guys should go out. And
the king of the land has his choice of any maiden.
But, you know.
You and Lisa Loeb have fun.
After some time went by, and after I was like, Louis emailed me. You know, I was like, he emailed me because he wanted to fuck my ex-girlfriend. That's weird. I mean, this wasn't Janet. This was Lisa. This was before Janet. But.
I nailed it.
What?
I said, you and Lisa Loeb have
fun. Oh, yeah. But anyway, the point is, like. You know, there is a Chloe out there for you, or there is a, you know what I mean? Like you shouldn't settle for something that you're not, where you're just comfortable. I mean, with anything, with a relationship, with work, with anything, you have to get a little uncomfortable to kind of, it's almost like, are you daring enough to walk through this pit of shit to get, are you daring enough to be Andy Dufresne to swim through the river pipe full of shit to get to the freedom?
Get to that beach.
Three football fields.
And leave some money under an oak tree.
Yeah.
Well, it was under a volcanic rock that had no business being on that wall.
That's how he was able to find it.
Yeah.
Well, this was another hostful podcast.
Another hostful.
Yeah.
I like
these get
about
better and better
while
and better.
Other people are listening.
Yeah, we really fucking opened the floodgates with that end of the year thing. And I was just thinking,
so,
you know what?
Guess
guys?
What, everybody?
Just keep it light and fun all the time.
No.
That's what these are.
Movie
I
puns.
Like this more.
We're running out of bits, Chris.
Oh, God. That happened a long time ago.
Just feeling.
Hey, Bruce, where's the cocaine?
I think we're all just.
Yeah. And then she told me to wait out back, and then I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's like she was never there.
I'd be interested to know if
said
you,
no.
If anybody out there, if you if you're a guy out there and you were best friends with someone and you were secretly in love with them, and then you told them, and then it panned out. I would like to hear from you. If you will email a podcast, I would appreciate
that. Yeah, well, there is a podcast email address. It's just Quemens at nerdist.com. Quemens, we haven't done Quemens in a long time.
And in the subject line of this this email, what should the subject line be? Because I want to know if this has ever happened, ever.
Best friend success.
Yep, that's the subject line. Yeah. And I need to know that it happened at least once.
Best friend to breast friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like well, that that's if I worked for the Jenny
friend
Jones
zone
show.
Becomes wonder, danger zone.
I also wonder if it happens...
Friend zone becomes end zone.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. There it is. But I also like I'm
friend zone to end zone. Okay, subject friend zone and then an arrow end zone.
Friend zone end zone. Okay, friend zone end zone. But I also wonder like what the success rate is on the homosexual side of things, like lesbian couples. Like I wonder if there's any success rate there, or if there's any success rate.
Oh, you mean like if one person,
One is the best friend.
If one is the best friend and they know the other person is gay, or they don't know the other person is gay.
They're both gay.
Well, no, they're both gay. They're both aware of it.
I'm also interested to find out people who. Oh, well, I mean, because that's kind of an interesting idea, too. It's just like if you're gay and then you think your friend is straight, but then you have a thing for them, and then it turns out like.
No, they can tell.
No, well, this is why people should write in.
We should just watch that HBO show.
Which one?
Looking. Okay. It's basically Boys.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. But yeah, no, I'm very interested to know that, too.
All right.
And also, you know, ladies, if you find me dateable, drop me a line. Oh my God, John Williams? I would go on a date with John Williams.
Of course you would.
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm going to put out or anything, but I would go on a date with John Williams.
Always in the friend zone. Always the conductor, never the first chair.
I'm not going to polish an Oscar. I'm assuming he calls his penis Oscar. but I will entertain him.
All right, so if you're a single young lady or John Williams...
I'm just kidding. You don't have to. No one, please don't worry about emailing me. That's fine.
All right, so if you're just John Williams.
Yeah, just John Williams. Yeah. If John Williams is out there and wants to go on a date with me, we'll film it for the YouTube channel.
Quemens at nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito!
Now leaving nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.